is a valid concern, but it's also just part of the risk of having a phone in general. Like, there are leaks, like data leaks for even WhatsApp or something like that, where, you know, they say it's end-to-end encrypted, but, you know, personal information still does get leaked. And even worse, I think, at least for me, worse than like maybe my government ID is like, you know, really personal conversations or just, you know, like information that you might not want other people to know that's really private. And yeah, like we have banking as an app. We have like all these different apps. Like I have my credit card saved on my phone for like Apple ID and stuff. Like there are, it's not just this method of getting government ID could be like the only thing that's worrisome about privacy. Like I think just having a phone is like a huge concern for privacy, but you know, most people just press like, oh, like allow and accept, you know, whatever I need to do to get the phone. And I do that as well, but you know, is listening to you, you know, like it knows exactly what you want at whatever time. And that's terrifying enough. But yeah, it still is a concern for sure with like a new policy. But I just wanted to say like,
yeah, I agree with everywhere. That part. I think for adults that are for at least kids over 16, we can be responsible with what we give and the banking information and how we store things on our phone. But just particularly for the kids under 16 or like a 12-year-old who's trying to get their passport. And I don't know if they understand the power and what could happen with it. But I mean, as you said, everyone, these kids have phones. There's obviously information that they're putting in there that I think ultimately the parent has to regulate. And that will be up to each family and I guess not really the responsibility of the platform, but that's a whole nother debate that has been discussed for a long time.
And I do have just one more thing to add about the data protection concerns, is that I think it's much better in a way that they're giving their data to, you know, potentially a corporation where, you know, it might get leaked, rather than being online and maybe like an older adult or older teenager like asking for their personal information. They don't know any better. They give it to them. That's when actual like real harm can occur, maybe more so than just having it in a system, like giving it to a real person. I think that's part of the reason they're trying to ban it too. It's because of the instances of grooming and, you know, like children can be very much targeted because they don't know any better online.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Pros and cons with that.
Pros and cons. Another thing that was raised as a con in the article was that teens who rely on social media for community will be isolated after the ban, which is an interesting one to think about because it makes you think, like, who is relying on social media for community? Like, is it people who, you know, are like suffering with their mental health and like don't go outside or, you know, they can't go outside for some reason. And like that is a valid concern. But I think there are so many instances where people just hide in their houses and, you know, bed rot all day. And like they do have to find community some way, so they do it online, but maybe it would force them to go out. I sound like a boomer or something, like get off your phone and like go outside.
I think, yeah, the idea, I feel like I'm more on that side too, where I'm like, oh, well, you know, go outside and go talk to your friends. But I know I just recently came across this Twitch streamer, one of the most popular ones. Her name's Iron Mouse, and she has something called common variable immunodeficiency, CVID, which is an immune disorder. So she's been bedridden her whole life, and she started streaming online because she was so lonely. And she has a massive support system through streaming and connecting through others. So I feel like things like that, the internet and social media, are super important. And essentially the law would be taking away things like that from them, which, you know, I feel like is also like a moral issue. Like, can we do that? Should we do that?
Yeah, because it's kind of like the tyranny of the majority, where like it's better for most people, but then it can be so crippling for, you know, a minority of people who are, you know, like disabled or really sick in some way, and that's the only way they can like connect with other people.
Exactly. So it's like, are we like, squishing down or the already squished
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. But also, if it's like, for the general, for the good, for the
overall
good.
Harm is pretty, like, huge as well, in my opinion. And, like, it's not to say that those people won't be exposed to online harm in, as, like, mm-hmm. also community. So, I don't know.
Another teeter-totter with that one.
Yeah.
And then I think we had one more point for the con.
Oh, yeah. Well. This is from the social media companies themselves who are saying that this is a con. They suggest that the ban would drive children into the dark corners of the internet and deprive young people of social contact.
Pretty dark.
Yeah. So I don't think it's like there's dark corners of the internet in every different kind of social media platform, if that makes sense. Like, it's not just, you know, like, social media platforms are just, like, this safe mainstream haven, and then there's, like, dark, scary corners. And there are definitely way darker corners, but...
I think you can find the dark corners from the social media platforms that people tell you about. They're like, oh, find That's this true. Website, here's the dark corner, you know?
So like, especially Reddit, too. They're like, let me show you.
Oh, I found some black corners through Reddit.
Yeah.
And the young people, deriving young people, I mean, we did perfectly fine without social media.
And also having social media kind of deprives young people of real social contact, too. Because it's a replacement, a substitution for what would be so much more healthy and better for you than just spending hours online. Yeah.
Yeah, this one's... I don't really have a great counter argument, but my brain says this is a silly argument.
Yeah, social contact online is not real social contact. That was my one argument against it. And the dark corners is just, I mean, those are like driving young people to the dark corners. I just don't know if that's, you know, a likely prediction or not, because it's just a prediction. Like, we mm-hmm. don't know what people are going to do.
Exactly.
And it's also coming from the social media companies who are going to face fines for not enforcing this and losing a bunch of their users. So you definitely have to think critically about that reasoning.
So more into the pro side.
There's a few more pros. More pros in my opinion than cons. I think just a big one is de-influencing children from absorbing and, you know, just... remembering and taking action on like all this horrible information that they're absorbing, because I wish I was not on Instagram absorbing the information that I did. Like, that is just not necessary. And there's so many different things that are just super bad. Like, I think it's increasing the ED culture online with like mm-hmm. body images for girls have been more and more skinny, and like there's so much of that right now.
Oh, definitely. I mean, for this one, this is something that was one of the reasons why I left social media, because I just couldn't take it with seeing all these hyper-edited, you know, models, and they all look like this and they all look like that, and you have to look like this for everyone to like you, kind of thing. And that took a major hit on my mental health, and I couldn't deal with that. And, you know, we have had... a history with that outside of social media that we can admit to, like all the magazines and models like Twiggy, for example. They this very cocaine heroin chic kind of
like
model.
Kate Moss and them. Yeah.
We've had a history, but I feel like with social media now you can actually see how much people love you for being skinny, how mm-hmm. many videos are edited, posed that I feel like even Twiggy, the models, they looked more human and they looked more natural, naturally skinny than some of the people online.
Yeah, and also it gives you the feeling that like all these people online, like they're also your peers a lot of the time. They're mm-hmm. not just like these famous models who have just made it. Like, they're people your age and they look like that. And everyone else, like, who you know is also seeing this type of thing. So the expectations are super heightened. And also with, editing software is crazy good. Like, I've seen videos of women who, like, show the difference before and after they've used any kind of editing. And, you know, I could not tell a difference between mm-hmm. the amount of makeup and, like, how small their waist is versus afterwards when it's not edited. And especially the introduction of AI at this point, I think, is a pretty critical time to be banning social media for children.
Terrible.
Yeah, blurs the lines even more between what's real or not. So if we're having AI on here... like, Heck no. No.
There are major problems with AI. I've heard a lot of stories with deepfakes. So with social media, you're exposed to so many types of deepfakes, such as, you know, disinformation. People can just make whole videos of celebrities or politicians talking.
Yeah.
And you couldn't even tell it was fake. There's fraud. You could have full-on fraud. Non-consensual pornography, which is a big one, because I've heard of a story from my mutual friend, where she posted pictures on her Instagram, and she had a public account, and there was this boy in her class that took pictures of her and multiple people in the class. This is a few years ago.
That's so scary.
And he used software. He made deepfakes of them. And they all went to court for it. And I don't think there are no really set laws in place for deepfakes, especially with, you know, this pornography, because people are like, well,
it's not real.
It's not real, you know, but it's their images. And, you know, who draws the line between, you know, being able to post it and someone being able to use this? And yeah, he wasn't sharing it anywhere, but why do you even have that? Why do you even have, who gives permission to make that?
And, like, where did he learn that from? Like, where did he think that was okay from? Which is also another thing where there's the whole alt-right pipeline, and this is a more ideological perspective, but, like, it has been proven that social media can radicalize people a lot, especially younger people who are uncertain about who they are, and, you know, some people might be feeling lonely or need to find some sort of community or identity to align themselves with. And, you know, that's kind of where things like the manosphere come in, and people get fed into that narrative. And there's so many other things that are, you know, there's like racist communities that are like fascist on there. And it's just having young children not really know, you know, what's right or wrong at a certain point. And maybe they do, like they're still like 15, but it is a concern that, you know, they could be going down those paths for everyone, like for society. And it's not just children, it's all ages, like going into that super radicalized mindset.
Oh, exactly. And as you said, AI is a major driver of all of this. And back to more of the types of information. So we mentioned the ED videos, eating disorders, being skinny, and DJSTAR mentioned the manosphere. There's also other things like what they mentioned before in the article, such as cyberbullying, violence, and pornography that are also detrimental to just seeing. As DJSTAR also said, seeing your peers and what they post and, you know, what is cool. And usually these behaviors are more out there, like jumping off a bridge and doing a flip, you know, or someone buying a $300 bag and showing it off.
Yeah, or going on a bender and they're like, oh, haha.
Yeah.
Here's my little vlog of going on a bender. And it's like, oh, that's so awesome. Like, exactly. I want to do that. And no.
So it's this whole influence of on us for this idea of success, especially for these kids who are trying to grow up, of being thin, you know, clubbing and pornography, beauty, popularity, money, traveling. Look at me, I'm going to this country. Look at me, I'm on this plane. Instead of real life and what we should be focusing on, such as, you know, spending time with your family. Laughing. I sound like a boomer right now, but I'm saying they are right.
Yeah.
They're completely right.
Yeah.
Go and read a book.
So many of these pros of banning it is like, I wish, you know, Canada would ban social media for everyone. Like,
exactly.
That would be awesome. I would be in full support of that. Because it's not just for people under 15 that this harms. Like, this goes generationally to all of us. And, like, it's also just, you know, it's not good. You don't remember anything that you're consuming on social media for the most part. So it's a huge waste of time.
Exactly. And I feel like the counter argument is like, oh, just delete social media.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And I mean, I don't have social media or most of the major platforms, but I don't think that's a solution in a way for most people, because since such a young age, everyone has been connected on the platform, and it is a lot of communication. I mean, people don't even give their phone numbers anymore. They just give their Snapchat.
Yeah.
Or they give their social media. And even just leaving the platform, you are leaving a whole bunch of people and friends. Like, I've cut connections with a lot of more acquaintances or closer friends, which, I mean, is not bad inherently, but it does shorten your social bubble in ways that I don't think everyone would like.
Yeah.
So,
but at the same time, it's kind of, social media gives you an illusion of being connected to all these people. Mm-hmm. And then the ones who stick around after you're not on it are the ones who actually
the real
you're
ones.
Connected to. Yeah, the real ones. Yeah. But I think, you know, we've been talking for a while now. I think we could talk for a long time about, you know, how bad it is for you and how bad it is for society. But
there are good things, you know. And yeah. One more thing to mention is, I think social media is helpful in the sense if you want to be a businesswoman or promote your business and, you know, connect people in the community. Because, I mean, I use Facebook. I have a little burner Facebook account where I'm following this mom group who goes to local restaurants in Coquitlam. Mm-hmm. And I found some good places.
Yeah, you can. It does enhance some aspects of life for sure.
And there's meetup groups on Facebook, too. It's like, oh, here's like girls 20 to 30. Like, hey, we're starting a book club. We're doing this. And those are things that I believe are the positives of social media that mm-hmm. we would lose. And, you know, some kids, I mean, it is easier for them in school to do that, but for the ones who are more marginalized, for example, mm-hmm. in parts of the world where they don't have, maybe they're homeschooled, for example, or they live in somewhere where they can't get a proper education, can't meet people in the neighborhood kind of thing. So it is still a little bit of a teeter-totter for me, but I'm definitely more on the side for banning it for kids.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how things progress with the ban too. Like, hopefully it will work. Hopefully other countries will adopt it. But we'll see.
Yeah, maybe
something to keep an eye on.
We'll do an update
mm-hmm.
at some point, or maybe
we'll see.
We'll see. We're gonna head back to the music since we actually are close to the top of the hour already.
Yeah, maybe we should say our goodbyes.
Yeah, we'll just say our goodbyes now. But yeah, thank you so much for tuning in to Slumber Party. We have next is Lynn with her with their open mic. And then at 8 p.m. we have Bit Coover with Connor. So stick around for those two shows. And we have a couple extra songs we'll play for you as we leave here.
Yeah. This one is called Alive by Fuzzbox from the album Boston Steve Austin. The whole album is really good. You should go listen to it. Okay. Bye.
Bye and enjoy.
If you don't want me, say so now. It's not too late. No, it's not a good time to talk this out. But I don't want to wait and fool myself, pressing into the crowd at the airport now. I tell you, you're free. Leave me. Machine goes leaning against the wall. It's not-
So for now, I'm just running.